Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are live. Sorry I had to miss last Saturday. There was a passing in the family. And so I had to attend a funeral, which was lovely. The person who passed would have been 102. So that's quite a nice run.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
Yes. And so that's why we were not on the show yesterday. Last Saturday. So we apologize for that. But you got to do what you got to do. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to take your calls. But as usual and customary, we do have our tech news that you can use. So we're going to cue Carolyn for this one if she's got it. Maybe she doesn't have it. So we'll have this as the underbed. So if you want to turn it down just a little bit, you can keep it running, though. It's a lovely song. That's the Russian national anthem. But, of course, Kaspersky finally...
Yeah?
Finally has been banned.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You don't say.
The Biden administration finally has taken action to ban, yes, a Russian antivirus software.
Oh.
And they've been blocking it for a while for DOD. They've said, hey, if you're part of the Department of Defense, you shouldn't be using Russian antivirus software to protect your Windows 7
and
computers.
And DOD personnel are not supposed to have it even on their personal computers.
Right. So now it's going to be gone for the rest of you. So if you are still using Russian antivirus software, what are you thinking?
Why would you?
I can't make it up, guys. I mean, it could be a great product, fine, but it's Russian antivirus software. So in July 20th, you'll no longer be able to get your Russian antivirus software. Kaspersky will no longer be able to be loaded on American systems or be updated.
Right.
So take that, Russia. We'll put the link here for you. You can read the article. But come on. The fact that this is even a story, it's like...
It's what, 10 years late?
Yeah, does duh come to mind?
Right. I mean, you just woke up.
Yeah.
To be clear, in one way,
yes.
The founder of the company, Yevgeny Kaspersky, is one of the good guys.
Sure.
He got into the business of antivirus because one of his computers was hit with the Cascade virus way back in DOS days.
Gotcha.
And he got mad and he figured out how to deal with that.
Nice.
And he was looking into it.
Right.
But on the flip side, guess where he got his training in computer science?
I would think the KGB.
Yeah, literally. He went to a school, a KGB school.
Right.
And then he worked for the KGB for a few years.
Sure.
And then the Russian government allowed him to get out of his obligation to them a year or two early.
That's unusual.
So that he could start his own company.
Yeah.
So make of that what you want.
Right, right.
All
right. Nothing. Nothing strange about that. No.
And the other thing to consider is that the cybersecurity complex worldwide does get valuable intelligence from Kaspersky.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they participate in all the consortiums that exist for that.
Right.
And they trade information freely.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're not so bad, but I don't want it on my computer, okay? I'm sorry.
No.
You know, let's get it out of here.
Right. So it's gone as of July 20th. If you want to keep running it until then, you
Why
can.
Why would you?
Yep. But after that, no go for you. All right. And, of course, in other news, some of the stuff that's been happening, and you might have seen it even in the normal traditional media, CDK.
CDK. Now, this is not something that most of you may have heard of.
No.
But it is very big in the world of auto dealerships.
Yes. So CDK. So just so you guys know, CDK was a software that you could run locally on your dealership servers back in the day.
Right.
And so back in the day, and I say back in the day, it's when Dennis and I both had hair, you'd be running your CDK system on your internal servers within your dealership's four walls, and you would be able to sell cars to your heart's content, processing away and selling vehicles, and everyone's happy.
And running your whole dealership on it. It's not just about selling cars.
Right.
It's a production system for an entire dealership.
Right. And then somebody said, hey... why don't we make these guys put their stuff in the CDK cloud and everyone will connect to the CDK servers, because that's a good idea. Is it? Well, now 15,000 dealerships go down thanks to CDK being hacked Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think they're still down.
They have, as of yesterday, they were saying themselves that they will be down for a few more days.
Right.
So we can assume that they're not up and running right now.
Right. No, and I know somebody said the cloud was a good idea. And you've heard me on this program for many, many years, you know, not being the happiest person about the thought of the cloud. And again, this is the reason why, right? When you have one, just think of it in biology. If we all had the same deadly gene that's going to kill us, right? I mean, that's not a good thing if you get exposed to something, right? Here, you've got the same deadly cloud, the single server that you're connected to. You're all connected to, and all 15,000 of you guys go down hard.
Right.
How can you prevent that? Let me think. You run the CDK software in your own on-prem, in your own walls, and guess what? Only 14,999 of you would have been running.
Right.
Because they would have gotten maybe one guy.
Correct.
So, again, Eric, you're so against cloud. I heard mortgage-backed securities were a good idea until the whole Great Recession happened. Now, all of a sudden, we understand how that works. I mean, it does, do we need to keep seeing example after example after example? I mean, you look at CDK, you look at Snowflake, Microsoft. All these companies are being impacted because the bad guys see a nice, cloudy, juicy target. It's so much easier to go after 15,000 people at once than if it'd be 15,000 individuals.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but it's true. I mean, it is what it is. We'll put the link up here for you guys. On top of that, the bad actors are now, there's other bad actors calling.
Oh,
they may not even be the original bad actors.
This is terrible.
They're calling and saying, hey, we're CDK and we're here to help. And so they're impersonating just like anybody would. If you're a bad actor, you're going to take the information you have created by the breach that occurred, and now you're going to call them up. And how many times have we told you guys, nobody cares about you? Nobody's going to call you and say, hey, we're from whatever and we're here to help. They're not.
No.
Right? And so these companies are getting called, these poor dealerships who are now already literally selling $100,000 Range Rovers with paper and pencil, are getting calls from these bad actors saying, hey, we're going to call it. We're going to help you. And now you're being victimized again by the bad actors because it's not CDK calling you. So we'll put the link up here for you guys to read that story, too. So, again, ECHN, Microsoft, CDK, Snowflake. And this is just recent. I don't have the time to go back and give you example after example after example after example after example after example of why cloud may have some problems and how you could actually be a contrarian and run your stuff within your four walls. A, it could be cheaper.
And yes.
And B, you're not going to be impacted when everybody's impacted.
Well, not only is it cheaper, but you don't have a constant bill coming in every month or every year or every quarter or whatever it is that they want their revenue stream.
Right.
You buy it, you're done.
And you run it.
And you run it. And if you pay any kind of ongoing cost,
it's maintenance.
For support and maintenance. Right. Right.
And again, the thing about that, too, that Dennis just brought up in the old days, if for some reason your business is down, you can't afford the maintenance, you can't afford, maybe you don't send the check in. Well, if you don't send the check in to the cloud provider,
it's off now.
They turn it off like water. Sorry, you're no longer going to be able to sell a single car if you don't pay us first.
Right.
Is that really how you want to run your business when they are in control versus you in control? I mean, what's happening here, people? What are we doing? You know, most companies want to have control of their destiny.
It's like somebody took the switch to their systems and handed it to someone else and say, you guys handle this.
Right.
And then we'll just switch that off either because of a hack or because of payment issues or whatever.
Right. Now, the other side of this is, of course, auto dealerships are responsible for the new FTC rule.
Right.
Now, you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars through third parties and other cybersecurity entities to try to comply with the FTC rule. Now, if these bad guys got into CDK and took that data, you could be on the hook for that, too.
Oh,
right, because you got your people who bought the cars and the data's in the CDK system, and the bad guys have that information.
Wait, Eric.
Yes,
Are you telling me that because CDK got hacked,
yeah,
dealerships can now magically be non-compliant with FTC rules.
Possibly.
And then become liable for the hack of another company's systems.
Exactly. I'm telling you that because when you stick your stuff in somebody else's cloud, it's your decision, right? It's just because you put it over there doesn't mean you obfuscate your responsibility for protecting the data, right? Lots of these systems are based on shared responsibility. I bet you that even the EULA for CDK says, hey, if something happens to us, it's on you. It's not on us.
Right. So it would have to be.
Yeah. So you could be like gym neighbors, surprise, surprise. Here comes your fee. And again, everyone thinks if you put it in the cloud, it's better. I don't know how many examples I have to give you. It's not necessarily better. It's different.
Right.
It's out of your control.
That is what people have to understand.
Right.
Cloud computing is valid.
Yes.
For some things.
Sure.
Under some circumstances.
Right.
It's not a solution for everything.
Right.
And people seem to think that it is.
Yeah. If I just put it in the cloud, I don't have to worry about it, Eric. Okay. I'll give you some articles that changes your mind. I mean, it's crazy. So this is just one of numerous. I mean, whatever vertical you're in, we've seen solutions for, you know, dry cleaning companies. We've seen solutions for, you name the company. Everyone's got a cloud solution. Why? Because they want you to rent the software rather than buy it once.
Right.
And if you put it in their servers, oh, we'll update it for you. It'll be perfect. It'll be nice and good and everything will work great until it doesn't.
Right.
Right. So here it is. It's not running for the folks at CDK. And we hate this stuff, right? This is awful. I mean, without cryptocurrency, this wouldn't be a thing. Hard to pay a ransom unless it's in fake money.
Here's a question. Was CDK ransomed?
You know, I don't know.
Or did
they
simply have some kind of a breach and they decided to shut down in order to contain it?
Yeah, we don't know. You're right. Fair enough.
But, or it might be that they got. Well, I mean, there's a reason for it, and something bad happened, but I'm just wondering if it actually got to the point where they were actually ransomed.
Right. Ooh, wow, that's some serious noise when I hit that spring.
Oh.
So we'll put the articles up for you guys to read and maybe better understand some of the risks of cloud computing. Other news, this has been something all over the news. I mean, I was going to bring up this about the Surgeon General.
Yes, go ahead.
So the Surgeon General... I just laugh. Wants to put a warning label on social media. Now, again, for kids, right? If you really want to be a parent, you already know what's good for your kid. You don't need the Surgeon General to tell you social media is bad for your kids. You already know it is, right? Just like smoking or whatever thing you know is bad for your kids. You know, if your kid's drinking 2 liters of soda with breakfast, that's bad for your kid. I mean, you know that by default. Same idea here with the Surgeon General putting a warning on social media. Fine, buddy. Put the warning on there. But it's silly.
I can't even conceive of how that's supposed to work. Let's say you're a parent, you've got a kid.
Right.
Your kid goes to, say, a computer at school.
Yeah.
Or maybe at a friend's house.
Right.
And logs into Facebook or Instagram or whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
How does the warning prevent that? Or do anything about it.
It doesn't.
If the kid doesn't pay attention to the warning and signs up.
Right. And the parents.
It's happened.
And the parents not going to get the warning because they're
above 18. No, they're never going to see it because they're not the ones getting into the service.
Right. So on the face of it, it's silly. The other thought of just having a government warning. Really? Really?
I mean, yeah, that really did something about cigarette smoking way back in 1964.
I mean, the government used to talk about it being its health benefits, right? I mean, have you heard about the food pyramid? I mean, we won't go there on the value of government warnings. But the thing here is if you really want to be a parent, the key really comes back down to, I think, the actual internet providers, right? These internet providers... As far as we're concerned, they provide dumb pipes to your system, right? It's all they are is a connection to the internet. But if you really wanted to, government, you could say to the these internet providers that they should really manage their network. Uh-oh, no net neutrality.
What?
Anymore. They should manage their network, surprise here too, and not allow kids under the age of X, whatever law you want to pass, to access any of these social medias, all the graphic stuff that's out there, without parental opt-in. So when you give the kid a phone and he's 13 years old, he won't be able to go to this by default because Verizon, T-Mobile, and all these companies should be mandated to be able to manage their networks and block the packets from these companies from being delivered to those systems.
Mm-hmm.
It is very doable.
Oh, definitely.
Very doable.
It's also doable that they could make that manageable for the parents.
Right.
Where you can go on, let's say you've got Comcast. You can go in there and you can log in and say, okay, let my kids into social media.
Right.
Or, no, don't let them in.
Right, by MAC address. By the MAC address of
the device. By the MAC address of your modem or by the device
they're using.
That the kid is using, right.
So that's where the cell phone comes in and what have you. So very doable. We're going to have a guest come on at around 10:05 from BARC. And she'll be talking about what they do to help parents protect their kids from the nasty stuff out there in social media. And they even have a BARC phone. And we'll put a link up there early here. You can kind of read about it. We've had her on before. Tatiana, and forgive me, I don't have her last name off the top of my head right now, will be coming on and chatting about how BARC can help parents be parents. But again, the key here is if the Surgeon General wants to do something, go ask Congress to say, look, kids under X can't have access to the media, period. They're doing it in certain states against pornography organizations, which are also fighting back.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I think they've even sued some of the states.
Right. I mean, you know, free speech is one thing. Larry Flynn went through all this stuff, and it is what it is. But there's nothing that says a 14-year-old should have access to this stuff. And we should be able to simply take care of it at the internet level. So no matter where they are protected. If you want to be a parent.
Right.
And if the kid comes to you and says, hey, I want to see porn, and you opt him in, that's on you.
Correct.
Right. That would be also contributing to the delinquency of minor, and you probably would go to jail, which would be fine, too.
What you want to do.
Yeah. If you want to opt him in, a 14-year-old, to do that, all of a sudden now parents can actually be parents. So this, to me, seems kind of silly for the Surgeon General. I don't really think it's going to make a difference, but that's just me. What else you want to talk about, Dennis?
I wanted to talk about something that the U.S. government is going after Adobe for.
Oh, what are they doing?
Well, you see, Adobe has these plans that you subscribe to.
Yes.
They almost don't sell software anymore.
Mm.
You have to subscribe to a plan.
Gotcha.
And anybody that's tried to buy Acrobat over the last few years run into this.
Yeah.
All right? And we've dealt with it with our customers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can subscribe.
Right.
But then you are committed to a term.
Mm-hmm.
The terms are not necessarily disclosed to you up front.
Really?
I actually have an Adobe photography plan that allows me to run Photoshop and Lightroom and some other stuff.
Yep.
And I use it, and I'm okay with it. But if I want to end it early, I've got to pay a penalty.
Really?
Based on how early within the plan term I'm getting out. But I will tell you up front that was never disclosed to me at the time that I signed up. Because if I had known that...
You wouldn't have done it.
Would never have done it.
Gotcha.
And so the U.S. government is now suing Adobe over this practice.
Wow.
And, of course, Adobe's got this yada, yada, yada about how, well, we're trying to provide good service to our clients. The part
of
the lawsuit
them buy stuff that they don't want.
Well, part of the lawsuit is that Adobe personnel are resisting allowing people to cancel their accounts.
We've heard that before.
Where you call up and say, "Yeah, I want to cancel my account." They'll say, "Oh yeah, well, there's a penalty," and the person might say, "Yeah, I'll pay that, but I just want to cancel the account."
And then they
and
still
then
won't
they
do
get
it?
Pushback. Now, we've heard about that before,
from
another company, but it seems to be a thing that these companies are still doing, even though they know better.
AOL was famous for that.
Oh, definitely.
We'll try to find the support call where the poor guy is trying to cancel his AOL. But yeah, so what are you so desperate for there, Adobe? So on top of the story we had on two weekends ago where we're talking about Adobe getting access to your data as part of their AI, where you could have an NDA where you're just helping to design a product within the Adobe tools, and Adobe's saying, well, we have access to that now too. Now you're maybe possibly broke your NDA. What is going on here? You know, and we see this also very often in our business, right? As IT providers, managed service providers for our business clients, many of the folks that are out there that are competitors to us will lock their clients into multi-year agreements that they can't get out unless they pay for it. Even if they hate their IT people's guts, they are stuck paying for support that they already have deemed subpar, and yet they're still stuck paying these contracts. And I always say to prospects, what are these companies afraid of? You can fire your doctor, your lawyer, your plumber, your electrician, but you can't fire your IT guy? You can't get rid of your IT guy without paying a penalty? So again, these same contracts are being done in our industry, where you've got businesses that want to fire their IT provider but have to pay them to go away. And now they probably were disclosed. So in the case of that's a little different between Adobe, but it's still, what are you afraid of? You got to lock your customers into buying something they don't want anymore. And it just seems like bad business practice as far as we're concerned. You can send an email to us and we'll happily let you move on within a 30-day notice and that's it.
Right. Yeah.
If it doesn't work it's fine.
If it doesn't work, okay, fine. Right. We're cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like to keep you, but if it can't work out, then it doesn't work out.
Right. We've tried to pick up clients who have been stuck with multi-years on their agreements.
Yeah.
Same thing with voice over IP phone systems. I have another customer who's stuck with 18 more months on his hosted voice over IP phone system. You can't get out of. Yep. Can't get out of it until another 18 months of payments. What are they afraid of? Just let them free. Let them go. Let my people go.
Little bird, fly free.
Yeah. So Adobe, obviously, I don't know what their problem is, but we'll try to find that AOL bit. We'll have Carolyn.
I have a link for it already. If we can get it to Carolyn, that'll be great.
That's awesome. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. So we got Joyce, Janet, and Lori. One line open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And then at 10:05, we're going to be talking to Tatiana from Bark, and she'll talk to you about how you can be a parent if you want to be and better protect your children from what's out there on the interwebs. Because as we all know, when you're on the internet, you're right up against all the great stuff that's on the internet and all of the nastiest stuff you could not even imagine. And if you give your kid a phone, that little tyke there has got access to stuff they probably shouldn't have access to.
Right.
And I think I was on this Tuesday with Corey, and it's like, when I was a kid, 13 years old, I had a bike. You know, that's my freedom, right?
Right.
But I couldn't go down to the Quickie Mart and pick up an adult magazine. And I couldn't go to the liquor store and pick up alcohol. But you give a 14-year-old access to the internet with a phone, and my goodness, heck, they could probably even order alcohol these days.
Yeah.
So it's not good. We need to do a better job of protecting our children, and we're going to do so. So Joyce, Janet, Lori, hang on. One line open for you. Everything we've talked about will be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. And if you're part of our Facebook group, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we are broadcasting our Facebook Live there as well. So you can see a couple of pasty white computer geeks here in the studio. Feel free to chat amongst yourselves within the Facebook there. And if you join that group, help each other. A lot of great people helping each other with their computer problems throughout the week. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNet Speed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and yes, we are powered by GoNet Speed. That was an abrupt stop. but I do want to thank GoNet Speed for doing that.
We're getting used to the new format, but definitely we love it.
Yeah. So again, GoNet Speed is another option when it comes to internet, and you can thank them for your other incumbent internet providers having to lower your bill. Because if GoNetSpeed's in your town, they have no choice.
Right. And there are some providers, such as Frontier, that are now deploying fiber in places they probably never would have done before. Right.
Thanks to the competition.
Just to try to get ahead of GoNetSpeed because they have to compete.
Right. It's magic. So we thank GoNetSpeed very much for supporting us and for being here in Connecticut. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Joyce in Torrington first. What's happening, Joyce?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Let's see. I'm looking at my email just so I can give you the what exactly I received. It came from Google.
Yeah.
And I never had this before. Let me see. It's here. It says Google critical security alert. Some of your saved passwords were found online. Now I open the email.
Yeah.
And there is a hyperlink here. Well, let me tell you. It says some of your passwords were found in a data breach from a site that you use. To secure your accounts, recommends changing your passwords now. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't tell me which account, which site, which passwords. None of that was given to me.
Yeah.
It does have a hyperlink saying check passwords. So I open that,
mm-hmm.
and it says password checkup, and then I open that, and it just brings me into Google,
mm-hmm.
and it says right. This particular page says no compromised passwords. And then it had weak passwords, reused passwords, which is, really legitimate.
Yeah.
But it says no passwords were compromised. Now, I kind of Googled it before I got to talk to, before I knew I was going to be talking to you.
Yeah.
And apparently this is a legitimate service from Google Passwords.
It is.
It is. And what's actually good about it is the fact that the email itself that they initially send is vague, and they do that, I think, on purpose, because they're just trying to alert you to a problem without diving into it and then being scammy about it.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't want to just tell you, your Microsoft account is compromised or whatever it is.
Right.
Mm. All right. What they do tell you to do is to go into your Google account, legitimate Google account, and then do the password checkup.
Right.
And there it's telling you what it has found about your passwords. Now, why it told you some things were found online but then said that none were compromised, I think it's because of what are called near hits, where you have a password. Maybe your password is... Ice cream,
yeah.
All right. Spelled with an E-A-M. And then somewhere in a breach, there's ice cream spelled E-M-E.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Google is smart enough to know that that's close, but it's also smart enough to know that it's not a true compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's going to be able to log in with that.
Okay.
But it's just telling you that there's a problem.
Yeah.
And what I would do is pay attention to the details in that password checkup list and then do whatever is advised. But you might want to avoid those reused passwords. That's probably the real thing.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
I would say that kind of overlap is going to give you compromises eventually.
Yep.
Yeah. And those I probably did 100 years ago before I knew better. But
yep.
Hey, didn't we all?
Yeah, we all did.
it doesn't, unless I'm not opening up far enough, but it's not giving me a clue as to which passwords might be iffy. Mm-hmm. Outside of the fact I've got 27 reused passwords.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that would be it, the 27 reused passwords.
You're an accident waiting to happen,
I'm
Joyce.
Just kind of speculating as to what they're objecting to, but I would say that's it.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if any one of those services, of the 27 services that you're using, that you use that same password, and let's say it's ice cream, but it's spelled correctly, any one of those 27 gets breached, the other 26 are now available to the bad guys. Right?
And so, you know, yeah.
Because they're going to see it's Joyce from Torrington, and her email address is yada, 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 and her password is ice cream. Now they're going to go and take a shot at a bunch of services. And they're going to get lucky. You have 26 of them they can shoot against, right? They don't know which ones, right? But they're going to take a shot at it. And if you also, if you don't have two-factor authentication turned on, they're going to log in.
Oh, no, I do on the financials and stuff. Right. Yeah, I do. I do on that.
That's good.
I think everything that I try to do now comes back with asking me for the birth security code.
That's good.
The ones that they're talking about, I can tell you, my bridge games. My bridge games, next door, I have no track phone.
Mm-hmm.
My microwave, my internet providers, what do you call it, security, Trend Micro.
There's some definite risky ones in there that they could try to fix, they could try to use against you.
Some of those may have two-factor available on them.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Nextdoor does.
It could be. It's been so long, yeah.
I forgot which there was another one that I think you might that might offer 2FA on that account.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge website, probably don't.
No.
But then again, I can only guess as to what the danger is there.
Just
don't reuse your passwords like that.
Yeah.
That's too many.
Yeah, well, that's the actually in that one, they're also saying the passwords were not strong enough. And
right.
again,
okay.
you know, not doing any better in terms back 100 years ago, doing any better in terms of passwords. I can see that.
That's normal.
So that's what that's all about.
Yep.
And I have to do the legwork to figure out what's going on.
Make some changes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right, Joyce.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. So that was a good call. And Google's trying to help. And in this case, now, of course, again, a scammer could take the fact that they are trying to help and try to figure out how to scam you, right? So I appreciate what Google's trying to do, but it wouldn't be hard for somebody to impersonate that either. So keep that in mind. Let's go to Janet in Farmington. What's going on, Janet?
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Well, I'm having trouble with people finding me
They
come to my house. They're directed to a different address. They put in my address, and it comes up with the person around the corner.
Oh.
That happens. That happens. Is your back door up to a road, and then the front door is up to a different road, and it just doesn't know exactly?
My backyard borders their backyard.
Yeah. GPS isn't perfect, and some of these things aren't perfect. Sometimes you do have to tell people a modified GPS.
Mm-hmm.
I know my son and his girlfriend can't get Amazon deliveries because Amazon can't find their apartment, even though it's in a monster complex. It makes no sense. So there's not much you can do to fix it that I'm aware of.
Well, you can report it to the different mapping sites.
Have you ever heard that to work?
True story, yes.
Okay, so there you go.
You'd have to get a hold of Google, Microsoft, Apple, MapQuest.
Yikes.
There's a couple others, but once you've hit enough of them,
they'll fix it.
You'll end up having your information distributed among them because there is some kind of a mapping consortium that some of them participate in.
All right.
And those reports can end up there, and once it ends up there, then it will go out.
All right, so we'll try to find can we find a link for her for that?
I'll see if I can find something about it. It's just something that I happen to know about because I had to do it once.
You know, they called me from Frontier, and they said, I thought you wanted service today, but you sent the guys away. I'm like, what?
Oh, geez. So nobody can find you.
You've been waiting for them to... with your stupid Wi-Fi for 2 weeks, and they go away. But
nobody uses the actual physical address anymore.
It'll go to realtor.com.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know if it's because they got it wrong or, I mean.
They probably got it from one of the mapping services, but maybe you just report it directly to them. I don't know.
I tried that.
Oh, they didn't want to take it. Okay.
I mean, how do you do that?
We will find some links for this.
We'll find out how to correct it.
If Dennis has been through this before, you're not alone. Although people, I mean, I'm a GPS zombie myself, too. It was funny. Where were we going? We're going to like a birthday party or something like that. And I think it was in my son's car. And his GPS had us going like three doors down. So my wife and I are in the back seat looking at the address. We're like, it's right there. And he's like, no, it says we're over here. I'm like, the address is right there, dude. But he was going to go right to where the GPS took him.
Not looking at
reality.
Lost its mind lately with the way they're sending you.
Yeah.
They just keep sending you in these weird places. Like, are you crazy? It was right there.
Well, you don't exist right now as far as the interwebs know you, Janet. So think of it as a good thing. No one's going to bother you. Oh, here it is. Dennis got an
answer. This is great. There is a website called gps.gov.
Yeah.
And there's an article there.
Yes.
And says how to report a mapping problem.
Awesome.
And it's got links to all of these different sites that I just mentioned.
Perfect.
So we'll post that for you. And like I said, once you hit enough of them, it'll get out.
All right.
To the rest.
We'll fix it for you so that Verizon can find you.
Okay. And then that GoNet speed, that's, I think, maybe Frontier will meet their price.
They might. I mean, again, if GoNetSpeed is not in your address yet, Frontier is trying to preemptively, you know, block them, obviously, if you've got the service before the GoNetSpeed can get in there. So they probably will. But that's a thanks to GoNetSpeed. You should send a card to GoNetSpeed because it's not because of Frontier's kindness of their heart that they're keeping the price down. It's because of the competition we finally have in Connecticut.
Yeah, right. All right.
So good luck, Janet. We'll give you the link. You can go check it out, and then you can let all the GPS folks know where you are.
All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That'll take a few hours, I think.
You got nothing better to do with your life, right?
Well, it took me a couple hours to figure out how to report it, but that was back in 08 or 09, something like that. It was a long time ago.
Modern problems, Janet.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isn't that crazy? You have to tell the internet where you are. Tell, it just doesn't know where you are GPS-wise. It's just too fun.
You would be shocked, trust me.
I'm probably not. let's go to Lori in Deep River. What's happening, Lori?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I know you're not the biggest fans of iPhones, but I just don't do Android, so.
That's okay. We didn't say we're not big fans of iPhones. Yeah. iPhone's a quality product. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the price.
Yeah. Well, there's that. There's that. The price is choke-worthy.
Yes.
But with these last couple updates, we've been having problems. My husband and I have been having problems with the sharing location. So I have a Mini 12 or 12 Mini, whichever way you want to put it, and he has an SE. They're both current. They're both 17.5.1 updated iOS.
Yep.
But I can see, just going under contacts, I can see where his phone is, which is really helpful for, you know, various times. But his device, he has to go into contacts. He's got to go into settings. He's got to go into devices. He's got to go into Find My. He's got about 100 steps to find where I am. Is there?
I just text my wife. I just say, honey, where are you?
Well, we do that too. But if I'm driving and I'm like, okay, help me get around this mess because 95 is an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, okay, where are you? It rolls reversed. I can see where he is.
Interesting.
He can't see where I am. And just this morning we were able to find it back again. But he's got 100 steps to get there.
So the same operating system should operate the same way. I mean, even on a different device.
One's an SE and one's a 12 Mini.
Yeah, no, I know. But operating systems should operate the same way no matter what device they're on. Are you seeing anything, Dennis?
Well, I'm seeing an article on the Apple support site where somebody is reporting that sharing contact location information doesn't work after an iOS 17 update.
Oh, my gosh.
That's probably me. So. I'm in Baltimore time. It's probably me.
This was originally posted on September 21st, 2023.
Yeah, that's I've been battling with this for a while, and I posted it there. But I put it under Honey Ann, my cat's name.
This is Hudson Wynn with an underscore at the end.
I don't know, but I know I posted the same thing.
Underscore at the end.
It is frustrating. Does Apple have any advice? Have you gone to the fruit stand?
We have not gone to the fruit stand.
All right.
We've gone online trying to find it. We followed their recommendations. I remember seeing that guy with the underscore in the end. I've asked. I've never gotten any reply back.
Yeah, there's no solution on that page.
Oh, really?
No. There's just a lot of people talking about it.
Huh.
Yes.
So it is a thing. I mean, there's at least 5, 6, 7 people that have said pretty much the same thing.
So let me understand this. So he can find you, but you can't find him?
No, I can find him.
All right, but he can't find you.
Right. For me, all I have to do is go under the messaging, if you will, and just look at his name, and it says, you know, where he is. And I just slide up and, oh, there's the map. There he is. Easily found.
Oh. Yeah.
For Al, he's got to go to this, you know, click here, click here, click here, click here. He's got about a dozen clicks before he can actually get to open, find my, and then slide down and then switch over to devices and then find the devices and then find the map.
Wow.
By that time, I'm home.
I found another article on this on Reddit. Okay.
On Reddit?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, which of you is the one that can't get the location of the other?
The husband can't find the wife.
All right. So what the wife needs to do, what you need to do.
There it is.
Is go into Apple Maps and make sure in that you're sharing your location.
Oh, I am.
Oh, you've already done that. Okay.
Yeah, no, I know I'm sharing my location.
This isn't going to help.
No, I know I'm sharing my location. Down at the bottom of his information, I can stop sharing my location, which we've done to try to, you know, get everything out, close it all down, restart the phones, turn it back on. You know, so I just don't.
I think you stumped us. I don't know if we found anything that can answer. Will you find something in the end, Dennis?
In this Reddit article,
here it comes.
There's another solution.
There's a little nugget.
Because there's a whole bunch of people that just said, no, that doesn't work either. Which is just what
you
said.
Yeah.
You go into this settings app of the iPhone.
Yeah.
You're going to tap general and then transfer or reset iPhone.
Oh.
Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go into there.
Okay, transfer or reset, okay.
And then tap reset. Bear with me.
Okay. Oh, boy.
And then reset location and privacy.
Okay, so it's not going to reset the phone, prepare for a new phone.
Won't reset the phone except for, I guess, the location and privacy preferences.
Okay, so I'm going to hit reset. And I'm on this phone, so if I lose you.
We do have a complaint department. It's C. Martin.
It's a little box. It's like I've got a jar on my desk that says Ashes of Problem Patience. So I understand. Same jar. Okay, so reset location and privacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'll do that when I'm off the phone. Okay.
Very good idea.
So that might do it, huh? That might fix it? That's what you're saying?
I'm just going through all the things in this article. I mean, we can post this for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are a lot of people chiming in, but I happened to see that, and it seemed like a...
And this would be on the target person, not on the person that had to do 15 steps?
Okay, yeah.
It might actually have to be done on both.
Yeah, maybe you got to do both.
Okay, we can both do it.
All right.
It looks to me like something that's relatively harmless.
Yeah, I'd love to know from any other spouses that track their spouses the way you track your spouse, how much trouble they have tracking their spouse.
Not so much tracking.
I'm just kidding. Hey, where are you?
Well, there was one time I picked up the phone and it showed me, you know, automatically it came up with a map and it showed him as being not at work, but 10 blocks over. And I'm like, what the heck? And
yeah, I hear you.
Location services went a little bit wild there for a while.
Yeah, the only way I know where my wife is when my Discover card bings that something's been swiped. I'm like, oh, there she is.
No, it's really just kind of helpful on the way home and 95 being chaos. And,
I know.
Society Road. Am I supposed to go left or right?
I gotcha. Well, let's see if this works. We'll put the link up there maybe too for the Reddit article. You can follow that too. And you may have to go to the Apple store and see what they can do.
Oh, God. Okay.
I know.
Well, those kids, some of them are really good, but
they're all geniuses.
Yes, literally.
They can't boil water.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't boil water, but... Mm-hmm.
I know.
All right. We'll give this a try. Thank you, Larry.
You got it.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. That's a funky one.
Yeah.
Because your iOS, if it's the same, should operate the same.
It should.
Shouldn't take that many steps to do it. Resetting that, maybe. What a service. What a location service. I mean, obviously, a lot of people do use the iPhones for that to track their kids and where the location of their stuff is. All good stuff.
Well, I mean, things like that are kept in a database on the phone because many apps probably refer to it. And if something goes wrong with that database.
Yeah, you're done.
Yep.
So I'm trying to think if we have enough time to go to another caller. Why not? Mm-hmm. We're commercial free. We'll do it. Hey, Ron, this is you're on the air here. Ron from Avon. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I have two questions in reference to a battery replacement on my laptop.
All right.
I have an HP Elite 360.
Yep.
And I have the options of buying a new battery because it used to last about 4 hours. Now it's down to about an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is it simple to replace? Because they give you a screwdriver, a couple screwdrivers, and they make it look like it's simple. And will it reset to factory specs my laptop if I replace battery or I disconnect the battery while doing so?
In answer to your second question, no. It won't.
Okay.
It won't affect any of the software or any of the data on the computer.
Right.
In answer to your first question, if they're telling you that you can replace it with a screwdriver, then I would think that you can. HP and a lot of the other manufacturers are pretty vocal if they think that you as a user can't replace their batteries. They'll tell you it's not user replaceable.
Right, right.
And they literally will not do anything to help you with it. They'll just tell you, ship it to us and we'll do it for a fee, of course.
Now,
so if they're telling you, go ahead and do this on your own with this little tool, I would think that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give you two small screwdrivers and supposedly pull it out or whatever carefully and you put everything back in order and it's got a new battery in there.
Yeah, no, it's
yes,
doable.
Yes, and you're going to want to do it carefully.
Yeah.
But
how good's your eyesight? It's going to be small, tiny screws.
You may want to have a very good magnifying glass standing by.
That's the one thing about this stuff. It's all very small. And you've got the Elite Put 360. That's what I have. It's a small laptop. They're beautiful laptops.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's fast. Also, super lightning fast.
Yeah. It's worth replacing the battery if you can do it. Oh, just be aware of the tininess that you're going to be dealing with.
Yeah. And the battery doesn't have anything to do with the data.
Say what, Ron?
Excuse me. They give you options. They give you options to purchase one in the lower 20s to about $32-$35.
For the battery?
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah.
All right, and it's coming from HP, right?
No, it's not. It's
third party.
It's aftermarket. It's.
All right. So be careful about that.
Yeah.
Go look at. Try to get the battery from HP. See what that pricing is, because the aftermarket batteries make me nervous.
Yeah, they do. A lot of them are old and they're scavenged from old laptops.
Yeah.
And they're not going to live long.
And we got to go, Ron. So I hope that helps.
All right. Hey, I thank you so much. You got to have a nice weekend.
All right.